So I want to build on what was taught on Sunday with what I can call a groundbreaking Bible study. So one of my major assignments as lead steward is to bring what you can call the development of spiritual knowledge. So from time to time, I have the responsibility from God to bring in new perspectives to the teachings of Scripture. Not that we are teaching something that the Bible doesn't teach, but is that as you pay attention to the curriculum of a church, there's supposed to be what is called a revised and expanded or updated curriculum. Are you with me? So if we learn about consecration the same way for 2 years, after 2 years, you should learn about it in a different way. You should see deeper things that the Bible has said about spiritual consecration or consecration to God. Are you with me? And so, I'll be doing this teaching. I've not taught this kind of thing, maybe since the beginning of this church. But as the Lord opened my eyes to the fact that I've not taught it and I should teach it, I'm going to teach it. So, are you ready? There is a verse in the last chapter of 1 John chapter 5 that for many years I've not given it thought. 1 John chapter 5 from verse 21. And for many of you, you are in the same position as like I was. It says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Can we read it together? 1, 2, 3, go. Little children, keep yourselves. I want you to read it with a loud voice. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Amen. You know, when I first saw this verse, or when the Lord pointed my attention to this verse, I was wondering, why would the apostle be telling the church to keep themselves from idols? This is New Testament, because the subject of idolatry or idol worship seemed to be more rampant in the Old Testament. Are you following that? Following me? Are you with me? And even in our day, some of us cannot even reconcile the fact that people were going down to bow down to some graven image. It looks weird to you, right? Or when you think about the Israelites, that why were the Israelites always going to bow down to a graven image, knowing that bowing down or worshiping some idol or some false god will get God to be angry with them? Why were they so stubborn? Have you been there before? When you thought about Israelites, these guys were just stubborn. Why? But from what I'm going to show you today, you will discover that you are most likely worshiping the same idols they worshiped if you are not careful. Are you following me? This is New Testament, and John is telling them, stay away from idols. Can you tell your neighbor, stay away from idols? Tell another neighbor, stay away from idols. So I want to say 4 things about idolatry. 4 things before I go into the core of what I want to talk about. Number one, there are serious warnings in the Bible against idols or idolatry. Look at 1 Corinthians 5 verse 11. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 11. It says, but now I have written unto you not to keep company with any man that is called a brother. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater. Are you seeing this? Or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner. With such an one, none should eat with him. You will see Exodus chapter 23 from verse 13. I'm sorry I'm being fast because we have long Bible study today. Exodus 23 from verse 13. It says, in all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect and make no mention of the name of other gods. When I saw this verse, I was like, is it that serious? Is it that bad? He said, don't even make mention of their names. Neither let it be heard out of thy mouth. Are you following me? That's to tell you the level of distaste that God had against these idols. Are you following me? Look at 1 Corinthians 10 verse 14. He says, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. This is similar to what John was telling his own disciples. Are you with me? Flee from idolatry. Can you say after me? Flee from idolatry. Tell your neighbor, flee from idolatry. I can go on and on with so many verses with strong warnings against idols and idolatry. But I'll go to the second thing because of time. Covetousness is a kind or a type of idolatry. Look at Colossians 3 from verse 5. It says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Read, please, can you read with me this verse? 1, 2, 3, go. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, look at Ephesians 5, verse 5. 1, 2, 3, go. Ephesians 5, verse 5. 1, 2, 3, go. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now, are you seeing that idolatry is coming right after covetousness? Let me tell you something here. You see, this year we're entering, this new, from 1st of September, I will start giving you what I call heavy apostolic teachings. I'll wear you a hat, H-A-T, heavy apostolic teachings. Are you with me? You will collect, when you open the Bible, you understand what the Bible is saying. I've come to really discover that, bulk of churchgoers don't know the Bible. Are you with me? And we have to change that. Because if we want to walk with this God, if we are going to see God the way we want to see him, we have to be really into him. Are you with me? We have to mean business. Now, why is covetousness connected to idolatry? Or how is it connected to idolatry? For you to be an idolater, you are saying that God is not enough. You need other gods. That's what you are saying, basically. So covetousness is one of the first manifestations of idolatry. You are saying that what God is saying is not enough, or the God of the Bible is not enough. You need other gods. Or what he's giving you is not enough. You have to look for something else. Something. What God is offering you is not enough. Can you give me a little more volume? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Number three. So the first thing I said was there are serious warnings in the Bible against idols and idolatry. Number two, I said covetousness is a kind or type of idolatry. Number three, idolatry is a work of the flesh. I'm trying to set the ground for you to see that even in the New Testament, you can be an idolater. Are you following me? You can be into idol worship. Idolatry is a work of the flesh. Look at Galatians 5 from verse 19 to 20. The Bible says, 1, 2, 3, go. Flesh manifest. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. But what I'm trying to show you here is, if you are walking in the flesh, you might be an idolater. Are you following me? A man who is not walking in the spirit, can be an idolater. He can be a witch. You just saw witchcraft there, right? God. Maybe there is more to the subject of idolatry and witchcraft that we are giving thoughts. Today is idolatry, not witchcraft. Maybe I'll have an hard day. Beware of witches. And I'll come and teach prophetically how that there are people who come to church, maybe even speaking in tongues, but they are witches, according to the Bible. So number three, idolatry is the work of the flesh. Number four, another word for idols in the Bible is false gods. Now, take note of what I just said. False gods. You know that, right? That another word for idolatry or idol worship is the worship of false gods. And this was the first commandment that God gave the children of Israel after they left Egypt. When God brought them out of Egypt, the first commandment he gave them was, I am the Lord that brought you out of Egypt. Thou shalt have no other God before me. You are going to see how this is very important. Exodus chapter 20 from verse 2 to 5. He says, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of bondage. Verse 3, what does it say? 1 to 3, go. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Read it again. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Read it one more time. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, I am a jealous God. That's something else not to forget. Hold that thought carefully. Are you with me? Are you with me? I, the Lord, I am a what? A jealous God. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Praise the Lord. So what is idolatry? Or what is an idol? An idol is anything that is more important to you than God. An idol is anything that has become more important to you than God. Number two, an idol is also anything that absorbs your heart and your imagination more than God. And number three, an idol is anything you seek to give you what only God can and should give you. Let me say the three definitions again. Number one, an idol is anything that is more important to you than God. Number two, an idol is also anything that absorbs your heart and your imagination more than God. And number three, an idol is anything you seek to give you what only God can give you or what only God should give you. Now, with this definition, you can say that idolatry is at the root of all sins. All sins has idolatry as its root. And I'm going to show you from the scene in the garden. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3. Many scriptures. Genesis 3 verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit which is in the midst of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God, now look at what the devil began to do. The devil began to exalt that thing above the knowledge of God. The devil began to explain to Eve that what God is trying to tell you is not enough. So, first things first, the devil had to make her covetous. Are you following me? Let's read. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods. Remember, thou shalt have no other God before me. So, what the devil was doing was trying to make them idolize themselves above God. Ye shall be as gods. You will become a god unto yourself. You, See, you make up false gods. So this was already idolatry in the beginning. Are you following me? Yes, shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, see verse 6. He began to walk on the woman. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband, and he did eat. So, it was idolatry here. The devil found a way to make them believe that God is not enough. What God is of, God is holding something from you. So he made them covetous and they made themselves, they idolized themselves to become false gods. And that was where sin began from. Please, are you with me? And you saw the consequence of this. He sent man into eternal death and exile from the Garden of Eden. Maybe that was why when the children of Israel also embraced false gods, they went into exile, into slavery. As the same pattern that when you embrace false gods, you go into exile. Are you following me? So, have you followed me to this point? Have you followed me to this point? Praise God. After Genesis 3, we don't see any mention of false gods or idols until Genesis 31. Now, in Genesis 31, Jacob had been serving unjustly, or he has been cheated under his uncle Laban. He was serving Laban and he had been treated unjustly. And he wanted to run away. So he ran away with his two wives, the daughters of Laban, Rachel and Leah. But Rachel carried the gods of her father. I don't understand. God's supposed to be carrying people. This one is carrying the gods. When I got to that point in my life, now I love that song more. Our Father, sing with me. Where they for heaven, nobody fit collect the chair where you sit down. Our Father. Don't form a hand. These other gods, where them they carry you for pocket, they cannot relate, because my father is not their mate. Okay, the energy I'm expecting, people are not giving me. Let's go back to the word. I'm not encouraged. Let's go back. Amen. Amen. She carried some of the gods of Laban. Hey, she stole her father's gods. When I got to that verse, I was just laughing. How can you steal a god? You can see this in Genesis 31 from verse 32 to 36. She stole her father's gods. And then Laban was angry. He came and said, Jacob, I know you went with my daughters and your children, but where are my gods? The whole story is making me laugh. Like, is it where are my gods? And Rachel did not want to release the gods. So she didn't even tell her husband, Jacob, that she carried the gods. So Jacob now said, anybody who is with Laban's God shall die. So they were searching for it, for the gods. It's disturbing me. Or the idols, I'd better put. They were searching for the idols. And so she sat on it. And when they got to her, they said, let's set your back. She said, no, I can't stand up. I'm having cramps. It is this period, you know, the manner of women. We cannot. And that was how she hid those gods. Some years later, in Genesis 35, I've heard some Bible scholars say, even though it's debatable, when she was giving birth to her son, Benjamin, she died. I've heard some Bible scholars say it is because she was with those gods she died. Because Jacob had already proclaimed the curse that anybody who carried the gods from Laban would die. Are you with me? And the curse waited until the day she wanted to give birth, and that her misbehavior played out. It's still debatable. But I am tempted to agree, because Genesis chapter 35 begins with the fact that after Jacob had met with Esau and God had miraculously delivered him, he told everybody, put away all the strange gods from thee. It is plausible that Rachel did not put away her gods. Are you following me? Hallelujah. It's still debatable. But I'm just trying to show you the evolution of this subject in the Bible. Are you with me? One more thing we need to look at before I round off today. I want to talk about idolatry in Israel. The idolatry in the land of Israel and how you probably may be committing the same error of the Israelites. I'm going to list out some of the false gods they worshipped that provoked God to anger and how many of us, we need to repent. Like after this service, we have a lot of repenting to do. Repenting before God, and then we're going to enter a new phase of consecration. The first false god or the first idol that Israel worshipped publicly is the golden calf. You know about the golden calf, right? Or the molten calf. Now, you see this story in Exodus chapter 32 from verse 1. Thank you, Jesus. Exodus 32 from verse 1. The Bible says, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves unto Aaron and said unto him, Up! Make us gods. They told him, Stand up, O ye priest." This story is very deep. The people came and told Aaron, "Stand up and make us gods." See, as a pastor, if you ever get to the point where you are now controlled by the people more than you are controlled by God, you will make gods for them without knowing. For instance, as a pastor, I noticed that anytime I want to teach about deliverance, when I was in Port Harcourt, anytime I want to teach about breaking generational patterns, people respond more. And when I change the topic and we want to talk about Christ, people even came and met me and said, "Pastor, that topic you're talking about, I want you to go, let's go back. Let's deal with the demons in the Father's house." You know what they're asking me to do? Up, make us gods. Are you following me? It says, "Which shall go before us? For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him." And Aaron said unto them, "Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons." Oh, the sons are wearing earrings, if I catch you. "And of your daughters, and bring them unto me." And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And they received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." I see what is going on here. "And Aaron saw it. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." Not to the Lord God, though, to this God. Verse 6. Everybody read verse 6. "And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and offered peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play." Verse 7. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou brought out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves." What does this God represent? It is the idolatry. It is the idolatry of money and pleasure above God. It is the idolatry of money and pleasure above God. Can you say after me, the idolatry? The idols of money and pleasure above God. You need to realize that the gold, these people were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. Where did they get gold from? Please, are you thinking with me? They were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. Where did they have enough gold? Can you imagine the amount of gold that may have been brought together and melted to make a golden calf? Think about it. How much gold was put together? That was the gold that they got when they were leaving Egypt. Remember, when God was telling them, he says, today I will give you favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and ye shall not go out empty-handed. And the Bible says they spoiled the Egyptians. Because of God's favor, they got gold. Now they go to the wilderness and turn the gold that they got from God to their God. The blessings that God gave them as their gifts, leaving the land of Egypt, the gold that God gave them, they turned it to their God. That's what happens to many people today. The money that God gave them, a time will now come. They will start telling themselves, it's because I have money, that's why I'm like this. They begin to brag about their money and forget God. I've not seen rich men like that. People who have money and they forgot the God that brought them out of the land of Egypt. Please, are you with me? Some of us, if you're not careful, you may have even fallen into that. God supernaturally provided money for you. And because of that, you were able to scale through some things. Now, you begin to brag as though it was the money that saved you and not God. Deep down in your mind, deep down in your heart, your allegiance is no longer to God but to money. You may have broken off those gold and melted it and turned it to a golden calf, and you are worshiping the molten calf. To you, you think you're not an idolater, but in the spirit, you are worshiping the same thing that the Israelites were doing, you are doing. And let me tell you one of the signs that you are doing that. The next thing we follow. The love of money will follow with the love of pleasure. That's what happened next. Have you ever seen those verses that says, many walk whose God is their belly? So it is pleasure that determines what they do. Oh God. Look at Philippians 3 verse 18 to 19. It says, for many walk, of whom I have told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame. What does that mean? Whose glory is in their shame? They glory in the things they should be ashamed of. Are you following me? When it says whose glory is in their shame, the things that they ought to have been ashamed of, they are boasting about it. When you see a Christian brother say, you don't know me, if I drink, I can finish 10 bottles at a sitting. Something you should be ashamed of, you are boasting about. I heard a man, he was bragging. He said, I have tasted different sides. I have tasted Christ, I have tasted the world. He said, in those days, I can finish 4 women in one night. They will be tired, I'm the one that will still be strong. In my mind, I say, oh my God, you wasted your life. You didn't taste anything. Somebody did 1,000 and told you, oh, vanity is vanity. You wasted your life. Don't brag. Something you should be keeping quiet about. You are boasting. You are boasting. Whose God is their belly? Meaning they have made pleasure a new God. That was what happened to the people of Israel. Because of this love of money, from then, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And I'm not making it up. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 10. It says, from verse... I'll try and be fast. From verse 1, it says, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Verse 5, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Verse 7, everybody read verse 7. Neither be ye idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Are you seeing this? So, he's literally repeating what we just read in Exodus 32. Are you following me? When you see yourself, the love of pleasure has overwhelmed you. That is idolatry to the molten calf. Some people, anything that would tamper with their pleasure, their work with God
He cannot tamper with their pleasure. You cannot take away sleep from them. You cannot take away their sleep. How will you wake up in the night and pray? I can't. Nah. Some of them, food is their molten calf. They bow down in allegiance to beans.
Hey, God.
That's why if you check the rigors of the Christian faith, it is designed to destroy your idols. That's why God will tell you to fast. That money we are planning to use, that God will say, my son, lay down on the altar. Now, I'm not saying bring your school fees. please. That's not an idol. That's your school fees. Entertainment. The love of movie. You know the funny thing? Just these things I'm mentioning are not wrong in themselves. But when on their own, they have the power to... Some people, God cannot interrupt their movie time. They cannot be watching a movie and the Holy Ghost tell them, leave it and go and pray. It's like you want to kill them. Like, just cuckoo kill me. It has just know it has become an idol. You are bowing down to a molten calf. Love of pleasure. Now, if you notice in verse 8, after verse 7 in 1 Corinthians 10, he says, and neither let us commit fornication as some of them were and fell in one day, 23,000. Because listen, this love of pleasure will eventually lead you to the love of sexual immorality. I will get there, even though that's another god of its own. I will get there. If you go back to Exodus 32, look at verse 25. Exodus 32, verse 25. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, part of when you say the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play, they were not doing skipping rope. Or they were playing draw your sword games. That's not the play. They began to play sexual play. They became careless sexually. Can you imagine? 3 million people in the wilderness and people are just naked. And guess what? It was like a normal thing because they were worshiping a god. You see this thing in our generation where people don't care about how they dress. They just see a lady, you open yourself anyhow. They worship molten calf. But that I will show you more in the scripture that it's more than that. You are not just worshiping the molten calf. You are worshiping Baal. You are worshiping Ashtaroth. Well, we'll get there. My body, my choice. You are an idol worshiper. Some people, their phone is their idol. Lakabrata Kambalatokobo is competing with God. It's competing with God. Rakabata. Personally, at this point, something was happening today. I was supposed to bring my phone to church. As I was coming, one of our sisters said, Pastor, are you not carrying your phone? I said, keep that idol. I want to drop my idol. I think one of the good things I experienced in Ghana, the first 2 days, my Nigerian SIM could not work. I had to switch off the phone and keep. You tap it, nothing. No message, nothing. I feel like God saying, that's good for you. That's what you need now. Because I use the Lord. I need my phone to be on. People are calling me. I will get one call. Pastor, pray for me. I say, Lord, you see? Pastor, one every time messages, calls, this one, that one. Now, all of a sudden, 3 days at a stretch, no single call from anywhere. I can feel the Lord saying, that idol will die here. I saw that I could survive without my phone. That if I don't press phone in one day, I will not die. My hand will not freeze. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You say you want to pray in tongues. As you carry your phone, 40 minutes has gone. Yeah. The phone is literally competing with God.
Literally. People are struggling to pray 1 hour, 30 minutes, 40 minutes to pray in tongues, but your phone, 2 hours, you are just scrolling. Say, look at this stupid girl. You are still watching it. It's an idol. It's competing with God. Are you following me? Number two. Did you get what I just said? So the molten calf is the idolatry of money and pleasures over God. There's so much to say about the molten calf. Because you may want to ask, why did the people decide to make a molten calf? Why didn't they make any other image? Why was it a calf? The calf was actually an image that they learned from the Egyptian god Apis. And so, when they were in Egypt, if you remember, they didn't just make the calf. If you go back and read that chapter, they were saying that they should even pick a leader and take them back to Egypt. That in Egypt, they were eating cucumbers and watermelon, but Moses had brought them into this land to die. That also signifies when, as a Christian, you begin to lust after the old things you engaged in that gave you pleasure in the past. When your heart is beginning to stir you to go back to all those evil things that God delivered you from, it is the worship of the molten calf trying to get a hold of your soul. Am I talking to you? This teaching is very deep. I'm trying my best to make it as interesting as possible, but it's deeper than what it looks on the surface. It's an Egyptian god Apis that looks like a bull and a calf. Do you remember? Ah, my God. If you remember Olympics 2 years ago, where they brought a bull. In the Olympics 2 years ago, they brought a golden bull that was angry. That looked angry and they rolled it. Who remembers that thing? Was it Qatar or which country did they do the Olympics? They brought that bull and the bull looked angry. And when the bull was moving around, people began to worship it. Hey, that is still idol worship in our day. The same spirits, the same demons responsible for the idol worship in the time of the Israelites is the same spirit with us now. Because you see, spirits don't die. We are talking about lesbianism and sodomy as far back as Sodom and Gomorrah. LGBTQ, the same demons from that generation is still here. Say after me, I will not be an idolater. Are you following me? You know, personally, I had to be repenting today. I said, God, deliver me from phone addiction. Deliver me when you want me to pray and I want to sleep more than I want to pray. And I know God wants me to pray, but the love of pleasure is too much. God is telling you something, but you consider your pleasure too important. Your pleasure is of more priority to you than what God is saying is the worship of the molten calf. Are you following this? Number two is called, this idol is called Nehushtan. Nehushtan. This one, 90% of Christians, they worship this idol. Nehushtan. 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 2 Kings chapter 18. 2 Kings chapter 18. The Bible says, now it came to pass in the 3rd year of Hosea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. Verse 4, 1 to 3, go. He removed the high places and broke the images and cut down the grooves, and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days, the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. What is happening here? If you remember, when the children of Israel in Numbers 21 sinned against God, God told Moses that for them to be delivered from the serpentine attack, he should make a serpent of brass. Are you with me? And lift it up in the wilderness. And whenever the people look at it, they will be healed. And that was what Moses did. Moses lifted up the brazen serpent in the wilderness, and whoever looked at it was delivered of their affliction. Are you with me? But after that, God did not want to use the brazen serpent again. So do you know what happened? The people took the brazen serpent somewhere, mounted a pole, built a groove around it, and began to offer incense to it as a god. That is the idolatry of past moves of God in your life. So for instance, maybe God used a man to help you. You're in a tight corner, and God connected you to one rich man, and the man gave you money. A time now comes in your life, you don't ask God for help again. Every time you need help, you call the man. Say, sir, your boy is broke. I need this. You will not even pray. You will not ask God. You will just go straight to this man because the man has become your Nehushtan. Are you following what I'm saying? It also represents good things that can become idols. Good things that can become idols. Marriage is a good thing, no? It's something that is legitimately from God. But there is a way you can be lost in after woman in terms of God, my wife, who will be my... In service, you don't pray again. You are just timing. That sister, Makatakopa. Or as a sister, that brother, Malata. That brother looks spiritual. You are beginning to worship Nehushtan. The idolatry of even good things. Things that God did. Maybe God moved in a certain way. You now think it must always be that way. It must always be that way. You don't want to follow God again. You want to idolize that way. That is why, even though we use the anointing oil in this ministry, we don't try to make you believe that the anointing oil is the power. Are you following me? Because you know what they were doing? They were contradicting God's law. God told them in Exodus 20, verse 4 and 5, thou shalt not make any graven image unto me. You will not worship any other thing. They were now burning incense to this brazen serpent. Are you following this? When men are no longer flexible to follow God again, they hold on to what God has done before and make those things God. They make those things in place of God. You worship the creator, the creature, more than the creator. You worship the method more than the maker. That's the worship of Nehushtan. Are you following me? You know, this thing. You know, people don't want to seek God again. They'll say, okay, praise is what works. I'm going to praise God now. He must show up for me. He must show up for me. God is maybe asking you to do another thing. You say, no. The last time it was praises I did, I danced for 7 hours. If I give God a 7-hour high praise, the heavens must open. He may be an idol worshiper. Are you following me? That's why, even as a pastor, there are certain things I cannot say. I cannot tell you, if you don't pray for 10 hours, you have missed God. You must pray. I will stretch you to pray for 10 hours. But I cannot make that particular method that God used in raising me as an idol for him to raise every other person. This is the scriptural reason why. Okay, I've talked too much. For instance, in fact, some people's training is actually proof of their own idol. Oh, my God. For instance, contrary to what people think, I like food. I like food. Food is one proof that there is a God. Have you seen the smell of fried dodo before? Like, from a distance, somebody's frying that thing. What other proof of God do you need than that? That's why, maybe that's why God has said, you will treat you with fasting. Fasting will be your own journey. I can't remember a week without fasting. In my life, I can't remember it. At some point, I was fasting every day. Like every blessed day. So that love
Praise the Lord. Some of you have made your job your source. Deep in your mind, when God is telling you to believe him for something, you calculate your salary. If it's beyond your salary, you're like, no. That God will make sure you get to a point where you will meet something that is bigger than your salary. So you come and say, Father, my job is a source. My job is a channel. You are still my source. Are you with me? Some of them, you can even be in a good light. God will give you a project that you need to believe in. You need to believe God. So that idol worship will die. Are you with me? Number three, the worship of Baal. Ah, the Baba. Baal. The idolatry of sex. This one. The worship of sex. See, this is not even just talking about the practice of sex. The worship of sex. In the minds of many young people, when they say, Jesus is coming soon, and they say, won't you marry? They are saying, so wait, Jesus will come and go. Jesus will come and rapture us. I did not have sex. Never. That worship of sex is like the beginning and end of life. Life has not started until you have sex. Everywhere is quiet. I came for you. Numbers 25 from verse 1 to 3. And Israel abode in Shittim. And the people began to commit whoredom or sexual immorality with the daughters of Moab. Are you with me? And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself to Baal Peor. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Now, why did they join themselves? What did the Bible mean? And Israel joined themselves to Baal Peor. The reason why he said Israel joined themselves was because they had fulfilled the ritual rites. Are you with me? How do you see? Remember, in 1 Corinthians, Paul said, anyone that is an idolater, do not eat with him. Do you remember? Anyone who is a fornicator, don't eat with him. Now, the reason why the Moabites could call the Israelites to come and eat with them was because they had begun to commit whoredom. If you study the whole context of what happened, Balaam was a prophet of Baal. Are you following me? And he was trying to curse Israel, but it was not working because they had not performed the rite. It was not working. So, Balak that contracted him to call Israel was saying, this one you have been doing this charm that is not working. What are we going to do? Balaam said, you know what? See, you know I'm a prophet of Baal. These curses from Baal will not work until these people perform the rites that Baal wants men to do. He said, what would they do? He said, find all those girls in Moab. Pack all of them. Send them into the camp. Once the people start committing fornication, the curse will fall upon them. And once they start committing fornication, you can call them to eat with you. You people are now together. We are now in the same temple. And that was what they did. The worship of Baal has to do with sexual immorality. Now, any form of... See, whenever you see yourself at a point where you are so desperate for sexual pleasure and you are willing, you begin to consider doing anything to get it. The spirit of Baal is trying to get your heart. So, how does this manifest in today's world? Of course, you know sexual immorality, right? In today's world. It also manifests in terms of pornography, masturbation, because the worship of Baal always demanded that there will be something called the high place. And when the people are committing this sexual lewd act, the prophets of Baal will stand on the high place and be watching them. The internet is that high place where people watch those things. Are you getting me? That high place where people go to watch those sexual perversions. They don't know that as they are watching their laptop is worship. You are worshiping the spirit of Baal. This is how in our generation, people can still be
idolaters. It competes with God. It competes with the worship of God. Are you following me? Tell your neighbor, flee from idols. Flee from idols. Beware of idols. Flee from idols. Keep yourself from idols. Are you with me? I can sense a lot of solemnity. That's how I felt too. Are you with me? Idolatry. If you read the story of Israel, by the time they began to worship Baal like this, the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and God told them, if you don't repent, you will go into exile. Do you know that there are people who have gone into spiritual exile? There are some people in the realm of the spirit, they are so... See, I've come to discover, you see this thing called sexual sin, it's dangerous. Very dangerous. Oh, pastor, I didn't do anything. I was just watching on my phone. It's very dangerous too. It can disturb your spiritual state. I wish I could explain it with words, but there are things I've seen in the spirit. There was a time there was this young man that was very fervent in church, but every time I look at him, when my eyes open in the spirit, I will see him floating. And the Lord will say, he's featherweight. He cannot stand anything. I'm like, what does this mean? So it bothered me so much. It was so, you know, when you're looking at somebody physically and the thing is so strong in the spirit. I called my wife. I said, this thing is disturbing me. And I told her, she said, God, I've been showing her that thing about that same guy. When I could not take it again, I called him. I said, please sit down. I want to talk to you. Please tell me. By the time I had to probe and probe, eventually it came out. Pastor, he has been sleeping around, sleeps with girls. But if you see this guy praying in church, now I know. So with all the powerful praying in the realm of the spirit, it was not carrying weight because sexual immorality has seeped everything away. Drained everything away. The worship of Baal. Praise the Lord. The idolatry of sex. That's the worship of Baal. Number four, Ashtaroth. Ashtaroth. Ashtaroth is the pagan goddess worshipped for fertility, for sexuality, and for warfare. The people of Israel were repeatedly warned not to adopt the idolatrous practices of Ashtaroth from neighboring countries. Now, what is the difference between Ashtaroth and Baal? Ashtaroth is not just about sex. Ashtaroth is the spirit, the idolatry of worldly methods. So, Ashtaroth is not just dealing about sex. Ashtaroth is trying to say, be like other nations. Whatever it takes to match up in the worldly sense of it, embrace it too. When you begin to idolize the acceptance of the world and you can begin to compromise your own values and your own consecrations so that the world will accept you, you are beginning to fall for the goddess Ashtaroth. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 4 to 6. He says, and it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth. Are you seeing this? Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians. And after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. So it is the compromise we make so that we can be accepted in worldly circles. It represents the compromise we make. Because of time, I will not go too deep into it. Are you following me? And like you know, eventually it led Israel into exile. You see, that's that spirit of... So, if you study more, it is the spirit of sensuality. Worldly ways of thinking. Worldly styles of behavior. That's Ashtoreth. For instance, there are some nations who, the way they are, You are almost forced to accept lesbianism, LGBTQ community. That's Ashtoreth at work. Are you getting me? There are some places, you know, even as a lady, there are some places you go, they try to make you look like if you are dressing all covered up. Come on, expose some skin. Expose some skin. What kind of thing is this? That's Ashtoreth. That's the spirit of Ashtoreth. Are you getting me? Praise the Lord. Finally, for today, Molech. Now, this one, it applies to some, it doesn't apply to some. Molech is the sacrifice of children for the pleasure of men or to appease the gods. So, this was one of the things that made God hate the Philistines and the Canaanites. The Canaanites and the Philistines, they were devoted worshippers of Molech. In the New Testament, it's called Moloch. Molech, Chemosh, the same thing. They believe in the sacrifice of their children. Look at Leviticus 18, verse 21. It says, thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God, I am the Lord. So, the ancient worship of Molech characterized the sacrifice of children for the pursuit of power, prosperity, and self-preservation. So, if you saw the statue of Molech, it has hands like this, and it is heated up with fire. Even Dagon was like a subset of Molech. It has the hands come out like this, and they will heat it up with fire. Heat it up with fire so much, red hot flame, and they will throw their children inside or put their children on that thing. It will be blazing hot, and while that is happening, they'll be beating the drums. The drum is expected to be so loud so that the cries of the children will be drowned. Are you following me? So that the cry of those children, also there are many of them that believed in killing their children at the foundation of their houses. So when they are building their houses, they will kill a child and put him there, believing that once that child is sacrificed to the gods, you understand, to Chemosh or Molech, it will bring them prosperity, it will bring them power, it will bring them progress. The modern day echoes of this is what you call blood money, where children are sacrificed to gain money. Another modern day echo of this is abortion. Are you following me? Where children are aborted. Any one of us that has committed abortion before, we may have worshipped this God. And we receive mercy in Jesus' name. The amen. I need it to be louder. We receive mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. We receive mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. That's the worship of Molech. Also, people who chase career so much at the neglect of their children. That is the worship of Molech in another way. Are you with me? This is the modern echoes. You chase, you neglect your children, you don't listen to them. You chase prosperity at the expense of your children. That's another form of idol worship. So if you are planning to be parents here, God will ask you, did you take care of your children or did you worship Chemosh or Molech? Were you there? Did you create time for your children? Praise the Lord. So what must we do? We must destroy the idols. Exodus 23, verse 24. It says, thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt surely overthrow them and break down their images. Jump on your feet. We've talked about the molten calf or the golden calf. We talked about Nehushtan. We talked about Baal, Ashtaroth, Molech. Say after me in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, in any way and in every way, I have been an idol worshiper. In any way, the false gods have competed with you. Have mercy on me. and I receive fresh grace to throw off the idols. To throw off my idols. Begin to pray right now. Sarabanda kapalatoria sapai. In my life, wherever I've placed money and personal pleasure above the Lord, in the worship of the golden calf, Lord, I receive mercy and I receive grace. Oh, to put you as God and Lord over my life, over pleasure, over money. Laraba kapalagadem beregededesha. Hey. Wherever I have worshipped Nehushtan, Elia Kapala Tatalia, turning the methods to gods above the maker, Leketepe Leketelia, Baal, the idolatry of sex, hey, you will not rule over me. In the name of Jesus, Ashtaroth, the worship of worldly methods, the worship of worldly acceptance, Le Rebeketepe Legedebeletelia, Rat, can we pray fervently? Sabaraga de belege shekete, linga ratam balato, rababaka satem balato, jekete peleketelia, endegede de pelekete, radagabalante kete. Help me keep myself from idols. Help me keep myself from idols. Help me keep myself from idols. In the name of Jesus. Help me keep myself from idols. I cannot feel you praying. Limbre de belete ketetelia. Rando go bo 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 sataya. Like rebe de belege de 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 sa. Shende lege de de de. God commands my radical devotion. The Lord commands my radical devotion. One more minute, pray fervently. Le rabada gabalatai, le kembre de dega shakete, inkubada gabaladege de de de, like de belege de dege shaketelia, ratatatata katalia. I will not be so desperate to be accepted by the world, and I'm begin to compromise. Atapalato, enke pele ketelia, rudege de de pele kete, enkubabaya dade. Lord, I receive mercy. Oh, wherever I have been an idol worshiper, I receive mercy. Wherever I've been strayed away into spiritual exile, I receive mercy. I come back, eleketelia, and on forward, going on, I receive grace to throw away my idols. Leketepe lege de 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 sa, lege de 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 be lege de 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 sa, shembre de de ge de de sa, enko be leketelia kapar, radadada de. Hey, the worship of Baal with pornography, the worship of Baal with masturbation. Oh, I receive grace. Lekebe lege de de be lege de 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 sa. I receive grace to throw off my idols. Hey, kapala tepele ketelia. Lira baba 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 sande. Libro go bo 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 sante. Shebre de ketelia kapai. God says you cannot serve God and mammon. The worship of money. When money makes me to disobey God. Where I'm so in love with money that I cannot let it down for God. Elia sufre ketelia. Radabada balade. Je de debele dede. Lord, I receive grace. Esia kapala debede dede sa. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus.